I wanted to take you to something of a very serious nature now, and I just want to put it out there that some of the content that we are going to include in this next interview may be a little bit difficult to hear for sensitive viewers and listeners, rather. And so I ask you to just be aware of that as we explore the story. It was a story that Time Select ran today, and you know... We've been working so hard at making gender-based violence an issue that really gets our attention. It gets the attention of the judiciary and government in general. It gets the attention of NGOs. It gets the attention of just ordinary people who want to join this fight against gender-based violence. And we would hope that the courts are on the same page as us when any kind of punishment is meted out for those who break the law in this regard. Now, Times Live ran the story about a judge in Umlazi in KwaZulu-Natal, a magistrate to be more precise, by the name of Kolani Budlani, whose cases are being audited because there have been certain complaints that cases she's presided over for the past 6 years have resulted in her giving rapists lighter sentences. And if that is true, it is very worrying indeed. I want to give you some of the examples that are mentioned in this regard. There's a story of a 19-year-old rapist who grabbed a 6-year-old child from her bed and raped her in a nearby forest. And she was so badly injured that she needed surgery. She spent a month in hospital, and her mother describes her as completely unresponsive now. She says she doesn't talk much. And that particular offender it was ruled that there were substantial and compelling circumstances to deviate from the prescribed sentence of life imprisonment, and he received a much lighter sentence than he should have, what is considered a slap on the wrist. But there are 17 cases that this magistrate's commission is actually looking at in order to find out what went wrong in the sentencing process, if indeed anything did. So let's bring Professor Bonita Meyersfeldt into the conversation. She's an associate professor of law at Wits University and the founder of Lawyers Against Abuse. And thank you so much, Prof, for joining us. You're very, very active in this field, particularly in regard to gender-based violence. I mean, one would hope that the sentences that are being handed down are very much in line with what government and NGOs are trying to achieve in ensuring that this is a deterrent to potential rapists or people who've committed these crimes.
Joanne, yes, thanks for having me, and really thank you for covering this as you always do. The approach to gender-based violence that often is lacking in addressing and changing patterns of violence is in the detail. And the particular audit that's taking place now is one of the most important steps that could possibly be taken in responding to the impunity around gender-based violence. And why do I say that? Your comment that the judges and magistrates would be handing down sentences that are commensurate with the horror of a particular crime, that one would think is the norm, and yet it's not. And this part of the problem is because judges and magistrates bring to their decision-making their own sense of right and wrong, right, their own prejudices.
Yes.
And that's in fact why you need a diverse judiciary, because you do need a diversity of life experiences represented on the judiciary. But the reality is that the sentencing has been incredibly light and completely disproportionate and inversely proportionate to the horror of the crime that is taking place. And that leads to a messaging that the type of violation that occurs is not admonished. And in the absence of an admonishment, you have endorsement. And that is what has led to, or part of what has led to, this indescribable tidal wave of gender-based violence.
Right. Some may argue that in applying the law, a magistrate also has to balance it with a measure of clemency or compassion in the way the sentencing is handed down. How does one do that in the case of horrific stories where children's lives have been irretrievably changed by the event that has taken place?
You're absolutely correct. Sentencing is a concept that is different from the determination of innocence or guilt. So once guilt has been determined, sentencing is a different process with different types of arguments and considerations. One of the most important considerations will be the age of the offender. And I'm sure what will come up in the audit is whether the lighter sentences were given in respect of offenders who were legally minors at the time of the offence. And this is based on the international law principle of the best interests of the child, including the principle that there should be always the pursuit of an alternative to incarceration of children, and that if incarceration is the only option, that it should be for the briefest period of time. Who knows whether these are the factors that drove the magistrate in these cases to give lenient sentences. So that may have been a factor. But the truth is that lenient sentences are given across the board.
Mm.
It's very often given to family members who abuse other family members on the basis that it's less serious because they're a family member, rather than realizing that being raped and hurt by someone you trust is ultimate violation.
Yes. Prof, I wanted to point out or draw attention to the recent announcement that many more female judges and magistrates are going to populate our courts. And I think that's certainly a commendable move in the right direction. But the fact that this was a female magistrate making many of these decisions that have been called into question worries me. It says to me it's not good enough just to populate the benches with more women. There's a chance that many of these female magistrates may not be committed to the gender-based violence battle in the way we see the judiciary as having to be committed to this. And many may themselves be living out a kind of internalized misogyny when they hand down these sentences.
I think that's absolutely right. The sex and race and economic background of a particular decision maker certainly brings the diversity, but it doesn't automatically mean that the decision will be commensurate with the crime, or that those biases aren't in fact internalized by the people against whom the bias operates. And the internalization of a kind of subordination definitely occurs. In fact, many times it's female members of the family who dissuade victims to report the crime. So I agree with you. There is a real, we must avoid an assumption that one's sex will determine one's approach to decision making. And, I often hear people saying, well, you can't have feminists on the bench because then they'll bring their own viewpoints to judging, and they'll skew the decision. You can't have gender specialists. But that is exactly what you do need. You need someone who understands exactly what the harm is, the context, yes, the seriousness, somebody who's studied this. If you're dealing with a commercial crime, no one would bat an eyelid if you said, bring in a judge with commercial law background or with a background in finance.
Yes.
Similarly with a tax crime. And yet somehow when it comes to crimes against women, we abstain from importing a specialized knowledge. So that really is what has to change. I mean, I'm very strongly of the view that there should be, in respect of certain gender-based violence cases, there should be an assessor that assists the judge, which is a possibility in our law that the judge can bring on an assessor with a specialized expertise to assist and guide in the adjudicator understanding the problem before her or him. That person doesn't help with the decision, but guides the information, translates the information. And this is something within the scope of possibility that can be done immediately. But yes, long-term training on gender-based violence, but also on poverty, also on class and racial discrimination, because all of these start to feature in gender-based violence considerations.
It's such an extensive argument, but thank you so much for unpacking that so well for us, Professor Benita Mayersfeld. She's an Associate Professor of Law at Fitz University and founder of Lawyers Against Abuse.